Hi, this is Marlena Lieber welcoming you to Blind Spot. Blind Spot is a series of programs heard this time each week on ACB Radio where we talk no-tech, low-tech kinds of things. If you've got an idea for something you'd like to hear on Blind Spot, why not drop me an email? My email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Hello, and welcome to Blind Spot. This is Marlena Lieberg speaking. As you know, on shows previous to this, we've done some chatting with some folks from the ACB National Office, and so on this week's Blind Spot, I thought it might be fun to spend a little bit of time with a name that's fairly new to the National Office, although with the amount of work that this woman does, I bet she feels like she's been there forever. And we are certainly glad to have Terry Pacheco in our National Office and on Blind Spot. Welcome to Blind Spot, Terry.
Thank you. Good morning, Marlena.
And it's very nice to have you. I wonder if you could maybe give folks a little bit of an idea what the heck it is you do at the National Office, starting with the floors you sweep and the...
Sometimes it feels that way.
I bet it does.
If it isn't something that Charlie is directly involved with, something that directly involves the Borough Forum, or something to do with government affairs and advocacy, which send to Melanie, then most anything else seems to end up at least coming through my office, if not staying here to its full completion.
And I have seen your office, and it looks like a very busy office indeed.
It is.
Yes.
My office, we do a lot of work with the affiliates, obviously. And so with 52 state affiliates and 18 special interest affiliates, that's 70 people who are up to want me at their beck and call at most any time.
What kinds of things do you do for the affiliates or with the affiliates?
Well, I'm the National Office Liaison for the National Alliance of Blind Students. And we've this summer had one of the interns here in the office was the editor of the Student Advocate, who I work with on a regular basis once the Student Advocate is all compiled, and he does the initial editing of it. He then sends it to me, and I finish it off and deal with its publication and printing and distribution.
Wow.
So it's been really fun having him here this summer. And there's been so much going on with NAB in general in that we have, I guess that maybe I ought to back up a minute. At the convention this year, NABS had an extremely good showing for their meetings. Their pre-board meeting alone had over 35 people at it.
Good grief.
Really, they have an incredible amount of energy.
Those students.
Really, they are just absolutely impressive at this point. Two of this year's scholarship winners took offices in NABS. One is Matt Van Fossen is the vice president, and Jeremy Johansson is treasurer, and they are just going great guns. They've been in contact with five or six states to either revive or to start new blind student affiliate chapters. In your home state of Washington, there's a group there that's getting going.
All right.
In Ohio, in Texas, Florida, Illinois. I've heard even some rumblings up in Massachusetts. They are just going great guns. They've got another board meeting coming up Labor Day weekend. They're doing a tremendous amount of communicating on their own listserv. They are just absolutely incredible, and I think it's really important because in reality, so much of the leadership of the future of ACB lies within NABS.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, whether we like it or not, we're not going to be around forever.
We're not? It feels like
Somebody
we already have been.
Telling me that.
It feels like we already have been, Terry.
Yes, it does. It does.
If there are people listening who may want to contact NABS, would they contact you?
Yes, they can just call me here at the office or my assistant, Patricia Moreira, and we can put them in touch with the local local chapter or take care of them through the national affiliate itself.
Great. And can they email you as well?
Yes.
Can you give your email?
Yeah, my email. Nobody ever can spell it, so I'll do it very slowly. It's tpachecho@acb.org.
That's tpachecho, tpachecho, @acb.org. You've only been in Washington for what, a year?
Just about. It'll be a year the 1st of September.
And in case anyone can't figure it out or doesn't already know, where did you come from, Terry?
Well, maybe I should have said the 1st of September.
September. She parked her car in Harvard Yard, right?
I was born and brought up within 3 miles of Harvard.
And what did you do before you came to work for ACB?
I've had quite a varied background. My original education and training was in accounting and taxation, and I worked for the Internal Revenue Service for about 7 or 8 years. Actually, before that, I worked for the Department of Public Welfare and ran the food stamp program for the city of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Then went with Internal Revenue for 8 years. I figured I was giving it away to begin with, and then went to taking it away from everyone. And then I ended up actually going into doing a bit of a midlife career change and went into the Randolph Shepard Vending Program for about 12 years. In between, my husband and I had adopted our son, and I needed to take some time off for a couple of years. And when I went back, I wanted something part-time, and it just all fell into place at the time. They had a location they were looking for someone for in the town that we lived in from 9 to 2 or something days.
That's perfect.
Yeah, I really kind of like fell into that whole situation.
You mentioned that you and your husband had adopted a son. I frequently see on listservs people talk about wanting to adopt a child or whatever and wondering if being blind, if that gets in the way. And I know that you guys adopted Scott a number of years ago. And I'm just curious, was blindness an issue when you were looking at adopting?
It was. It was. It wasn't a strong deterrent. Of course, you have to remember, we did it... actually, I feel old. It was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time
ago. It was. We started the process in 1980, and we got Scott in 81. At that time, you know, you didn't have ADA and that kind of thing. Anyhow, so we were required by the agency to get a letter from my ophthalmologist saying that it was not likely that I would lose the rest of my vision. They were concerned because, some of your listeners anyway would know, my husband is totally blind, and I'm legally blind, and they were concerned about that at that point in time. The other thing, we also looked at some international adoption at that time, and they felt that with certain countries we would have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But with a lot of others, we wouldn't. So it was just, you know, we just kind of worked our way around it.
Yeah, and I remember when you guys were going through that process. It was certainly not an easy process, but, you know, you guys just stuck with it. And I guess that even now, even with ADA, that people still have some difficulty with it, and the key is stick with it if you want to.
I think that really is the key. I think children present an awful lot of issues. I don't think the blindness issue is any more unsurmountable, or any more surmountable, I guess is a better way of putting it, than many of the other issues that you're going to have to deal with anyhow.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's something that you live with and deal with in every day anyway. Just like all of the issues that are going to come up with raising a child.
Yeah, exactly. Blindness is not a critical thing. It's just a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so now we know that Terry's from Boston, and we know that your husband's totally blind and you have an adopted son. What kind of got you interested in working for ACB?
Well, the other thing is that I also was back in, since the early, as I say, I was a member, I've been a member of a state affiliate or two or three since the early 1970s. I think I started out as vice president of Blind Leadership Club.
Oh, how well I remember.
Yeah, don't we, though? The committee meeting night.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just amazing the time we put into that.
And the music committee.
The music committee and the pedestrian. We were into a pedestrian safety committee back then.
Yep.
And so many different things. And a lot of it was under the guidance of ACB leadership at the time.
Absolutely.
I got involved with some people who were starting a new special interest affiliate of ACB, and I didn't really get terribly involved the very first year, but by the second year I did, and that was the Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, I was the recipient of their first state charter.
Really?
And founded the first state chapter of CCLV, which now is Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. And we had a state chapter of that in Massachusetts for probably about 8 or 9 years. It had three local chapters. Did a lot of work specializing in the different chapters, did what the needs were of that particular group, and what the interest was of that particular group. And I've always thought that that's a great benefit of ACB, and it's also a wonderful way to encourage membership, to be supportive of one another. We had one chapter there that was very interested in medical and blindness-related issues.
Uh-huh.
And low vision issues. Met at the Mass Eye and Ear Infirmary.
Uh-huh.
That kind of, you know, and we're into the, I used to call them, quote-unquote, the professional people. Another group up there was the South Shore chapter. That was mostly a group of young parents who needed to find methods of transportation and ways of getting into more family-oriented issues, taking the kids to an amusement park, that kind of thing, dealing with special ed departments in some circumstances. It was within the same organization, within the same state chapter, but two totally different issues, and yet there was plenty of room for both.
Who is Terry Pacheco?
I guess, in my entire life, I've always been very involved in some level of advocacy, in membership organization. As I said, I've been very involved with, I was involved for years and years with Bay State Council. I've been a member of Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America for several years. I have served as the editor of their publication, The Vendor Scope, for a period of time. Matter of fact, I am representing ACB to a conference, National Vending Conference, that's going on. It's really pretty exciting. It's going on this Labor Day weekend in New Orleans. One of the things that's wonderful about this conference is about a year and a half ago, we put together this call for action, the call for a lot of changes within the Randolph Shepherd program. But through our work with the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, we have gotten a group together to run a national conference, training conference. It's being underwritten by the Rehabilitation Services Administration, and it's a very cooperative effort between Rehabilitation Services, the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, the American Council of the Blind, the National Federation of the Blind, the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America, and the NFB's Merchants Division.
I think what we're seeing is that Terry Pacheco is somebody who has been perhaps sometimes quietly, but nonetheless always working very hard toward improving the lives of people who are blind. But I still want to know, who is Terry Pacheco?
Well, Terry Pacheco, I guess, is someone who has, as you say, I have been involved in the blindness community really all my life. I've also been very active in community work throughout my life. I mentioned earlier that we had adopted our son several years ago. I got very involved at that time in a support group for parents with what was called at that time just special needs adoptions, which was basically just people who were adopting children with special needs.
Yeah.
I was very involved with a support group for that with the Open Door Society. I guess the one thing that hasn't come up that, of course, you know about, and several of my friends do anyway. I've dragged them all there at one time or another. I do have a strong interest in Irish history.
Boy, that puts it mildly.
How many people do you know that have taken two semesters at MIT of Gaelic? It's not a common language, but it's one of the few that I enjoy. Irish history has always fascinated. From Boston, I've always been a history buff to begin with.
Well, and with a single name of Dorothy, how could one?
I always say I was a Dorothy, my mother was an O'Brien, and her mother before her was a Morrissey, so Pacheco should have been O. Pacheco.
Terry O. Pacheco.
There you go. I was very involved in the Irish American community in Boston, including as vice president of an organization up there that had 2,300 members in its heyday. I served as the editor of their monthly newsletter for, about 4 years, I guess.
And you have arranged...
I would think nothing of running a dance for 150 people on a Saturday night with 2 hours' notice. One of my more favorite things that I used to be involved with was running an open house at this Irish American Club for the town on Patriots Day. We lived on Paul Revere's route. So April 19th was always a major date for us, and I'd serve 600 hot dogs all the kids in town. Those kinds of things. I love doing that. I've done a lot of work in chartering, in running charter trips. I did a lot of assisting with running charter trips to Ireland. I did a lot of work in running trips around this country. I don't know, one organization leads to another. I guess I started with the CYO when I was in high school and just kind of went from there. I've just always been involved in organizational work. I think it's something that goes back at least 3 generations in my family. When I was a junior in high school, I chaired a committee to find overnight accommodations in people's houses for a convention that we were running at the school. I needed people to take in 700 high school kids.
Wow.
I've just always liked doing that kind of thing. I'm a facilitator. I'm not the one who likes to be out in front of out with the microphone in hand doing the The pep speech. I'm the one that likes to make sure that the microphone is there.
That's great. And
that's much more my style.
We are so lucky to have someone like you and someone with your experience in ACB. I mean, I've certainly noticed a difference in the events that I've participated in just since you've come on board. And I've seen you working countless hours, both at the legislative seminar last March and at the convention in July. And I think that, you know, I think oftentimes we on the other side of the desk get involved in saying, well, this could have been like this and this should have been like that. And we don't really have an appreciation until we really see one of our friends working hard at this.
I don't think I had a real appreciation
exactly,
of it either until
exactly,
I did it.
Exactly. You don't have an appreciation of the amount of hours that it takes to coordinate this. And so I, at least on behalf of Blind Spot and folks at the convention, just feel like giving you a big thank you, because things are never perfect, but they've been a whole lot better since Terry Pacheco's been in town.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
Well,
I have thoroughly enjoyed this year. I certainly hope to continue on for several more. I'm always willing to.
I think another 30 would do, eh?
Yeah, let's see. Then we could. We'd almost be old enough then to do our own IRAs.
That's right.
Collect on them or something.
Exactly.
Let's see. That'd bring us up to about 50 or something.
50, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
59, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 30 years, we'll both be 59. Mm-hmm. 59 plus, right? Well, Terry, I want to thank you for joining us on Blind Spot. It's been fun for me personally because you're my friend, but I think it's been a neat time for Blind Spot listeners to kind of get to know you, and those who haven't heard your voice, and kind of get to know what the heck you do at ACB. And why don't you go ahead and give your email address one more time, and maybe also, if people are interested in the ACB scholarship program, they should still contact you, is that?
For the scholarship program, if people are interested in applying for the scholarships, we do about 25 scholarships a year. The applications will be going out in November. They'll be due back this year on September 1st. The scholarship committee made a change to February 1st.
I was going to say, now, wait a minute, that's a little hard. We'll send them out in November, but you send them back before we give them to you.
Exactly. No, they'll be due in February 1st this year. You can call the national office, and you want extension 20, or Patricia, who is my assistant.
Okay.
She is keeping the mailing list.
And can you give
for
the
scholarship?
Can you give the phone number?
It's area code 202-467-5081, or the watch line is 800-424-8666. It's 800-424-8666.
Great.
That number is answered generally from 2 to 5 days. But there is a menu there where you can go into voicemails and such from there. Let me give you two more. Can I stick in two more quick plugs?
Please do.
A couple of things that came up at this year's convention. We had the Independent Visually Impaired Enterprises sponsored with ACB a small business seminar. And it was on starting your own business, growing your own business. Journeys to Prosperity is a booklet that was put together for us by Deborah DeBoard.
Yes, and
it's
Deborah,
a wonderful resource.
And Deborah DeBoard was on Blind Spot last week.
Yes. That's what made me think to be sure to mention it this week. We have Journeys to Prosperity available here in the national office. You can just call and ask for a copy. We'll send it out to you. It's available in large print, in Braille, and on cassette. We can also make it available on computer disk as well. We also still have from the ADA clinic that took place at the convention. We had information about mediation. Mediation programs under the ADA. We have information available in accessible formats.
Great.
On that as well, if anyone wants to call for that.
And who would they ask for to get the Journeys to Prosperity?
Journeys to Prosperity or the ADA mediation information. Anyone can just take the information for those.
Well,
and we've got plenty of them, and you're more than welcome to them. I think it's a great resource. They're both really good resources.
And they're both available in alternative formats.
Yes, they are. Most anything we do here in the offices has always been available in alternative, or
right.
At least for the past year since I've been here anyway, and
right.
For some time before that, has been available in alternative format. And I just thank you for a very, very pleasant morning. I didn't know what quite to expect out of this.
Well, we never know where we will go when we go to Blind Spot.
In the year of our Lord, 1806, we set sail from the cold Cape Cod. We were sailing away with the cargo bricks for the Grand City Hall in New York. With an elegant craft, she was rigged for and aft, and how the trade winds drove her. She had 23 masts, and she stood several blasts, and they called her the Irish Rover. There was Barney McKee from the banks of the Lee. There was Hogan from County Tyrone. There was Johnny McGurk, who was capable of work, and the chap from Westmead named Malone. The ex-lover O'Toole, who was drunk as a rule, and fired in Ben Tracy from Dover. And your man, Mick McCann, from the banks of the Pan, was the skipper of the Irish Rover. We had 1 million bags of the best live or rag. We had 2 million barrels of bone. We had 3 million bales of all nanny goat sales. We had 4 million barrels. We had 5 million hogs and 6 million dogs, 7 million barrels of porter. We had 8 million sight of our blind horses hide in the hold of the Irish Rover. We had sailed 7 years when the measles broke out and the ship lost her way in a fog. Big fog, and the pale of the crew was reduced down to 2. 'Twas myself and the captain's our dog. Big dog. Struck a rock, a log body shot, and nearly tumbled over. The night times around, and the poor old dog was drowned. I'm the last of the Irish Rover.
You've been listening to Blind Spot on ACB Radio. Thanks to our technical people, Chris Bell, for making the music happen, and Jonathan Mosen, for making the program possible. If you have any ideas for something you might like to hear on Blind Spot, drop me an email. It's Marlena, MARLAINA, @acbradio.org.